Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the Spectrum Dad Podcast. I'm your host, Fred Marvel. This week, I'm really excited. It is the season finale of season two. We put out a lot of good episodes, and I met a lot of incredible people this time through. But with the boys back in school and some other stuff going on and the holidays coming up, I thought it would be a good time to take a break. But I wanted to finish this season strong. So I have a great interview for you guys with Katie MD. Katie is a mom from Saskatchewan, and she has an incredible story of advocating for not just her kids, but all kids in Saskatchewan. And she's spoken in front of government officials and really has gotten out there to try and change things for the better. So this was a great conversation. I was really excited to get Katie on. So please enjoy my interview with Katie MD.
All right, and I am back, and this week I'm really excited to be joined by all the way from Canada, Katie MD. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you for having me.
No problem. Thanks for coming on. I'm really excited to talk to you today because I've been reading a lot of your blog posts, and you are a big-time advocate in your part of Canada. So I really wanted to get into a discussion with you about what led to being such a strong advocate for your kids, because you have three kids and two of them are on the spectrum. Am I correct?
Yep. Okay. We have three kids. My oldest is Avery, right, and he got diagnosed pretty much our start into the public education system. So kindergarten.
Okay.
And he was diagnosed on the severe end and nonverbal. And then we have a daughter, and she's our middle child, Natalie, and she is atypical, and she is she runs the show at our house. She tells people to jump and we say how high. Really, you can tell she's my kid. Our youngest, Jackson, actually, this past about year and some here, we just recently got a diagnosis for him. And he got diagnosed on the spectrum along with PICA, ADHD, and ODD. And a little bit different. So, we have our hands full. We have two boys that need full-time attention, right, and supervision, and have some pretty high needs, but we manage. We always get asked, how do you do it, day to day? And it's just, you just do it. You get up in the morning and you just do it, and we manage. But it definitely is something that is really hard to explain to people.
I get the same questions, and I don't know what to say other than exactly what you said. You just do it. Alex is getting ready to start seventh grade. He starts at the end of August, and I'm already on the phone this week with the principal, and school hasn't even started yet. So, I'm explaining everything that's going on with him to my parents, and they both say the same thing. I don't know how you do it. And I tell them, I don't know any other way. Back to you guys. Either of them, was autism anything on your radar? Because, with us, I had no idea. I had no idea what autism was. I had no idea what it entailed. So how was it with you guys?
Well, the thing is that Avery was our first, right, and I knew it was something. Mm-hmm. And honestly, before Avery, I actually hadn't even heard the word autism. Knew nothing about it. Absolutely nothing. So it was all very new, but we slowly got introduced, to programs and resources and everything else. And Avery got diagnosed, but it was a different experience. When Avery got diagnosed, that was years ago now. He's going to be going into grade 6 here in September.
Okay.
Everything has changed. The resources have changed. The system has changed. It's a lot different. And how we went about it was a lot different with Avery than it was with our son Jackson. Both of our boys have a lot of similarities in the sense of no eye contact, struggling in social situations, get pretty anxious. And, you know, the things that kind of separate them and which people have a hard time wrapping their head around, why both of them have this, you know, label of autism, is that our oldest son, Avery, is nonverbal. And, you know, just in the last little bit here, he started gaining some words and, you know, we're really lucky that he did. And we're really happy that he's starting to find some speech and language. But my son, Jackson, you know, he has been able to talk always and he talks very, very well, and is able to pronounce dinosaur names out of this dinosaur encyclopedia book. And I'm like, what did you say? Okay, how do I say it again? Like, he's literally showing me. He's incredibly smart. He has a fascination with minerals and rocks and all things that I know little to nothing about, I'm going to be honest. So it's an interesting balance we have in our house. We have a child that, you know, really needs us in every aspect of the day for clothing, bathing, feeding, everything. And then we have another child that is a little more independent, and is vocal and, you know, does very well academically, way above his age, but struggles in the day-to-day life of brushing teeth and washing our body and certain things like that. So it's this wild journey we're on. So when, you know, I've had the opportunity to meet in person with families that have children on the spectrum, and meet people online and everything else. And it's kind of nice in a way that we have, it's going to sound weird and strange, I know, but it's kind of nice that we have these two boys that are so different that we get to raise. And that when someone explains something to me and they're like, my son does this, or my son loves this train or whatever.
Yeah.
It's like, I get it because we have these two boys in our house that are so different. And it's amazing because even though all of our kids have this label of autism, they're so different. They are so unique. They are do these incredible things, all of our kids. And it's just, it's one of those things that you can't ever explain to someone. And that's why I always have such a hard time explaining to schools in particular. During the school year, I go into classrooms and I explain about autism and diversity and inclusion and why that's important. And I tell you what, the questions that come out of little grade one mouth leave you like just shocked and in awe. Yeah. Like grade one, grade two, grade three, it's a pretty risky game when you open up the floor and say they can ask any question. Like,
Because kids are honest. There's no filter there, so I can only imagine some of the questions they come up with.
Oh, and you just, you know, and the thing is that so filled with curiosity.
Exactly, that's the exact word I was thinking of. They're just being curious.
Yeah, and just and want to know. Like they are so interested to know about our kids.
Yeah,
and there's something about that I love. That I love that they want to know. The question might not be worded exactly the way it should be, or, you know, and the thing is, they just want to know and they're so curious. And I had such a good experience with that in this journey that I've been on, parenting, you know, my boys on this journey of autism, and then being also an advocate, that I get to hear questions, I get to hear about stories about other kids, like all these things. And I've learned so much. Like the amount that I've learned from other parents blows my mind, that like tips and tricks and things that I just simply, you wouldn't find in a textbook.
No, it's funny. I've learned more from the people I've connected with on Instagram and through doing this than, you know, than anything. I have nothing else to compare it to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because it's great talking with parents of older kids on the spectrum because they've seen a lot and been there a lot, you know, and they've got a lot of experience to pass down. And it's great talking to, you know, to newer parents, you know, to parents of younger kids too, because, you know, like we've gone through a lot of the same things and, you know, it's great to be able to share, well, this worked for me. And, you know, here's, you know, like I've been going through it with, vitamins and supplements for Alex too, because he's a picky eater. You know, you know what I mean? And like, I'm literally like talking with other parents about, well, this is what I tried and this worked and here's what I mixed it with. And because, you know, the taste isn't the best. So, you know, it's a really great community.
Yes. And that's the thing is that once you find, and it doesn't actually have to be a whole bunch, but you find a few moms that are all in a different stage. They don't even have to have, you know, a kid exactly like yours. Mm-hmm. You will absolutely learn something from them. And it's kind of crazy, but like people have a hard time believing that you'll learn something from another mom that's going through it. Cause you know, in our situation, we have a lot of families that we help and they're always worried about asking me a question. Like they'll see something that I post and they're like, where did she get it from? Or where, you know, whatever. But like thinking I'm too busy. I'm too busy to tell them or too busy. Like they don't want to bother me. And it's just like, no, ask. Like you want to know, like I absolutely will tell you where to get that weighted blanket or, you know, what works for us. And this community that, you know, all of our kiddos and all of us caregivers belong to, it only gets stronger when we all help each other. It only gets better. We only build better. We only, you know, make better for all of our kids when we share information, when we talk to each other, and when we help each other out, because, you know, this life can be lonely at times and very overwhelming. Especially for parents who have kiddos that don't sleep or have struggles with eating or whatever it may be, or all of it, you know, and sometimes you feel like no one understands what you're going through. But if you have other people that may not have a kid the same age as yours, but on the spectrum, they may understand a little bit more. They may be able to help you or guide you or give you advice on something that worked for them. And I'm all for trying all the things. We have two boys in our house that hate sleep, have a love-hate relationship with sleep. So we were at the point, you know, when COVID first hit and everything, the world was shutting down and our kids were coming out of school and everything was so chaotic. There was a point where there was a lady who was friends of a friend of mine and was like, oh, try this like oil and you put it on your feet and you know, heat up this weighted whatever lap pad. And it was like a whole process, hey, to go to bed. And it was like 20 steps long. And I'm like, and I'm doing it. Like, I don't care. Like, I don't, like, we weren't getting any sleep. So like, I was at that point, like, if you told me to clap my hands 10 times, you know, pick an apple off an apple tree and run down the street with socks on my hands and it would get my kids to sleep, like, I would do it. Like, that's how badly we needed to get some rest. And then, it was weird. Like our sleep schedule is really quite strange, but like our boys will go weeks with no sleep and then all of a sudden they'll sleep. And I like, for the life of me, I can't figure it out. And like, we're those people that write down what they eat and like trying to figure it out. Like it's this like magic code, like, you know, is it this? Is it that? Is it too much sugar? Well, like, what is it? Why aren't they sleeping? And, we just, you know, we haven't figured it out. Like our oldest Avery is 11 and I don't know, the kid still doesn't sleep. So like we've tried it all. We've tried, you know, sprays and everything yeah. else. And anytime something new comes out, I'm like, well, maybe we should try it.
I know. Like, I'm sure, because Alex is still not the best sleeper. He just turned 13. I'm sure we could trade stories for days about, you know, about sleep and all the things we've tried. Mm-hmm. We're getting there ourselves, but not quite yet. Not quite yet. I don't want to mm-hmm. jinx it too much. We're on the right path, though, I think.
Yeah.
But did all of this advocacy come naturally to you? Because you've done some incredible things. You've written a lot of different for a lot of different websites. Before we started recording, you told me about speaking with government officials and things like that. It's one thing to advocate for our own kids with what they need, but mm-hmm. to put yourself out there in the community, in the public's eye, yeah. is that something that came easily to you?
Actually, no. I'm going to be honest. The first time I ever got invited to sit in legislation,
okay.
I went into the bathroom in the government building and I had a little moment. I was like, oh my goodness, I can't do this. What am I doing here? I didn't go to university for this. Like, I was freaking out. It was hard. And the thing is though, it was this weird thing. It was so, so hard to do that. But I was so incredibly devastated and upset that I had this little boy. And at the time we just had Avery, our oldest, and no one was helping us.
Yeah.
No one was helping us. No one was telling us like where we needed to go. And we were doing all the things. We were signing the papers and we were going to the appointments and we were doing everything and then some. And it was just like, it's your parenting. It is your parenting. And I was completely heartbroken because the thing is that Avery was my first child. So I had nothing to compare to.
Yeah.
So I was just like, oh my God, it's my parenting. And like,
yeah.
I already was pretty self-conscious of how I parented Avery because everyone in my surrounding family and also friends that had children, you know, were the moms that eat organic and like just very granola moms mm-hmm. that term that people use. And those are the people that I was surrounded by. So I was like maybe there's not enough granola in me. Like I just, I didn't know what was going on. And so then, you know, fast forward and me talking and speaking in legislation, how I kind of came to be is because I, had went into legislation and we couldn't get Avery an EA for school. And I spoke
now,
that day.
Real quick, what is an EA for people?
Oh, an educational assistant. Just a support worker in school.
Okay, got it.
And we couldn't get one. And, you know, he needed one. He was a flight risk. He mm-hmm. he was an eloper and I was really worried. Where our school is right beside a train track. And our school had no fence. And that day that I spoke in legislation completely changed our lives. I went from being fairly shy and mm-hmm. fairly antisocial and not having social media really to any extent to then being put in the place of everyone wants to talk to me. All these schools want me to come in and speak to their students. And I, for pretty much almost a full calendar year, we fought the school division that we were in. There was letters in the paper. There was we were on the news. We had a TV ad, a political campaign ad, wow. ran of our family. And it all just, it was like a tidal wave of things that happened very, very fast. And the thing is, I regret none of it. It was literally the turning point in how I found my voice.
Mm-hmm.
And from there I had the opportunity, to be able to do some amazing experiences with Autism Canada and Autism Speaks and have conversations with people that I would never be able to talk to probably if I wouldn't have went that day to legislation. I believe that everything happens for a reason, and it was kind of right place, right time, and then everything just came after. And I saw the change, if that makes sense. I saw after that moment that people could talk about autism in schools. People could, you know, advocate for better services. People could do all of these things. And not necessarily I had to do all of it, but the sky will not fall if you go and advocate for something in legislation. So I've, you know, had the privilege to be able to put a provincial rally together. We had it just about 2-ish years before COVID hit. And we had people travel 7 hours to come to it. And it was wonderful. Like, that's the thing. So for us, you know, something I posted the other day, people reference me now to an influencer because I have done deals with bigger companies and things like that. And I don't believe myself to be one. I believe that I was in the right place at the right time. And I have this incredible village that I am surrounded by, that without them, none of it would happen. We wouldn't be able to pass new bills in into legislation. So there is more funding for kids on the spectrum. We wouldn't be able to do any of the, you know, amazing work that has got done in the education system by making sure that kids on the spectrum have the safest experience in schools and that families are supported. These things wouldn't get done without the village. And I just have this incredible community of people in the world of Facebook that are so incredibly supportive. Like, I'm just, there are days that I'm so blown away. And it's always when we need them the most. It is when I, you know, have another family in crisis. It is when I am going into legislation and me and my husband, you know, are talking about that we want more funding to go to families to be able to get speech therapy, you know, respite, whatever it may be. And there's this huge community that's supporting us that's like, yeah, you go do that. You go talk about that. It is incredible to be able to be in this position. It comes with an enormous amount of stress. But the thing is that I have families now that write me letters. I'm old fashioned that way. I love when people write me letters instead of email. That's just the way I am. And the last year I've had numerous letters sent to me from families thanking me for the most, you know, not huge things I really did for them, but to them, they're huge. To me, it's little. Anything from being on their child's IEP to helping them get funding, like whatever it is, to fill out a form to get into a speech therapy clinic because they were confused by it, whatever it was. So how I live my life is an open book. I am like an open door. Like, if you need help and you need support, I hope you find me and you come and talk with me. And there's no judgment. There's no judgment. There's no nothing. I have been lucky enough to be in this position where I'm able to help families, and not everyone is. That's the thing. So it's been a wild, wild ride, like something out of a movie. Really. Sometimes I shake my head. Like, I'm just like, oh my goodness. Like, and that it's only been, and this is the crazy part, like Avery's 11 and we've accomplished all of that and so many things. It's just wild. And Avery's only 11. And really all of this started when he was, you know, 5-ish. So like it hasn't, like it's been long, but not that long for how many things that have happened and just amazing experiences. My favorite thing to do now is to go in legislation. I like get a thrill for it and I wear a blazer and like.
And how you're used to it.
Yeah, like it's just, oh, it's, I get like an adrenaline rush. Yeah. Like how those people like that go skydiving. Get that? I get that from going to legislation and sitting with a bunch of like very dry talking government officials.
Yeah.
And they, you know what? We have a love-hate relationship. People always ask, they're like, oh, like, how is it? Like, do they actually listen to you? You know, because they're in government. And I'm like, it's the craziest thing, but like, we are so comfortable with each other. Whoever's in the meeting, it's just like, Katie, where's your phone? You cannot record this. Like, and it's just like, and because a few times I didn't know that I wasn't allowed to.
Yeah.
So like, I'm very much an open book and, you know, so it's this funny thing. Like, I'm just like, oh yeah, I went to Ledge today. Like they, you know, they didn't buy me supper. Like what a bunch of cheapskates. Like, come on now. Like, and like, you know, you got to laugh about it. Cause like the thing is that I didn't, and I'm very open about that online. Like I didn't go to university for, you know, politics. I didn't go to university for, you know, child services, social services, anything like that. I absolutely did not. But the reason I share so openly about being in legislation and being included in on files with social services is that I'm the girl that didn't go to college or university for it. And for some reason, I have a seat at the table. So I must be worth something. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, they wouldn't invite me in. Like they would, they'd be like, who is this girl? Like, so that's kind of how I look at it now. Before, you know, it got questioned a lot, like if it was okay for this, you know, this girl from Saskatchewan, like to be, you know, in meetings or anything like that. And now I'm welcomed in everything. And it's honestly, it's beneficial to my own family and also, to other people's, because I kind of know what's going on and what's happening. And I think that, you know, people like me, there's quite a few now since we've been doing what we've been doing, and my husband helps me actually a lot on some things, that things can only get better. This is the way that I see it. They can only get better. They can only, you know,
yeah, absolutely.
Only more people can get help. So, yeah.
Now, before I let you go, my last question is, how do you balance everything? Because with three kids, two on the spectrum, and all of your incredible advocacy work you're doing, like, how do you find time?
So, I swear that I like make hours in the day. I don't know. Like it's this crazy thing. You know, the thing is that at the very beginning, I had a really hard time with it.
Yeah.
Because my boys were in a different stage of their life. Right. Jackson, was not on medication yet, and was fairly aggressive. So our days were pretty long. They were pretty hard to navigate and I wasn't getting a whole lot done. But in the last probably 2 years, it's got quite a bit better, but, I'm actually really lucky. The thing is that my husband helps me out a lot with, our kiddos. So we are the family that is like the amazing jugglers, like juggle all the things if we really, you know, put our mind to it and crack down. But I never book more than what I can handle. So when people see things online, this is the best way I can put it. And they see, oh, you know, she was in the city and she was presenting at the school and she was doing this and doing that. It all didn't happen in 1 week. Like that is just, I'm posting it. I'm talking about it. I'm sharing about it. But those things that I did probably took me a month or probably, you know, took me longer than that. It's just when I have time. So balancing everything, it takes a lot of work, but it's absolutely worth it. And I prioritize a lot of my things. What I write for other websites and blogs is one of my top priorities, because I find that not just my personal story, but my story of like having kids on the spectrum and all of that has helped a lot of people.
Yeah.
So I like sharing about that, and I find it quite therapeutic. I write at night when my kids are, when they choose to sleep, I should say, when they choose to sleep, I write at night. And then I pick certain days throughout the year where I will do trips into the city for legislation, sitting in for budget. And then same with schools. I book off certain times so then my husband knows when I need him or when I don't need him. But the thing is that I wouldn't trade this life. There, if someone told me that I was doing this right now, you know, like 10 years ago, I'd be like, you're so full of shit. Like, there's no way. No, come on now. Like, I wouldn't believe it.
I know. Yeah, I'm the same way.
I wouldn't even be able to wrap my head around it. Uh-uh. Yeah. And now, like, I wouldn't give it up for all of the money, like, all the things. I wouldn't give it up because there is something about, you know, going to the grocery store. This is, like, our thing. So Avery has an obsession with going to the grocery store, not because he gets a toy. He just likes it for some reason. It is so strange because when he was little, he hated it. The fluorescent lights, the people, the waiting in line to pay for the groceries. But now that Avery's got older, he just loves it.
Yeah.
So that's really his thing. But every time we go to the grocery store, and it really doesn't matter the day or the hour, every time we go, someone knows us. So they like stop and we start talking. And it's this amazing experience because 9 out of 10 times they have their kid with them. So I've literally gained all of these little kiddos that range in age from like 4 to like 17 to, you know, older than that, that are with their parents or with their caregiver, and they are on the spectrum, and we are best friends. Like, they are so excited to show me their iPad and show me their, you know, talking whatever device, like, or show me that they got a new sticker because they went to the doctor or whatever. And it's incredible. Just like, so amazing. And we have like this crazy bond, and 9 out of 10 times I have to like end up, because we have such great bonds with a lot of these families and kiddos, like I'm buying an extra bag of mini eggs or Smarties when we're going through checkout for them too. Like, it's like it's great though. Like, it's this amazing experience. And Avery, he knows and recognizes all these other kids. And my daughter, in the mix of all of this, she just started in the pretty much the last 2.5 years really wondering, like, what do you do, mom? And like, there's not really a title. Like, like, there really isn't. Like, I want to title it, but like, I can't. So, but she knows, like, we're doing all these things. Like, she's like, what are you doing today? Like, a rally? Or like, are you going to like talk in government? Like, what are you going to the school? Like, what are you doing? And every day's different. And I think that's why I love it so much, that I get to like meet all these kids, meet all these parents, all that have very unique and different lives and journeys. And I get to still be with my kiddos and help them, you know, live their very best lives. And it's kind of this really, like, I got a really good gig that, like, I don't know, that I really, really enjoy. And I never thought it could be like a possibility or a job. But it absolutely is a job. So it's wonderful. And we're lucky to be just in this space and in this position. And I really enjoy being able to share about both of our boys online and talk about just all the things we're going through. We're going back to school here in September.
Okay.
And Avery really doesn't want to go. He really doesn't want to go. Like, I just, I don't know what to do about it. He's
And he had too much
so
fun in the
upset.
summertime, maybe.
Oh God. And he, you know, our kids have been out of school since COVID first hit. So we homeschooled our kids. And, you know, I say this openly, I was horrible at it. The people that are amazing at it, I give them all the props in the world, but I actually was quite horrible at homeschooling, and it just, I wasn't good at it. I didn't really know what I was doing. And yes, I had all the books and all the things. It just, it wasn't for us, but, we, you know, we're sending our kids back in September here and all of them are going, and Avery's just been home too long. Like the luxury of home, like that the TV is available, you know, whenever. And, you know, he doesn't have to, you know, get dressed right away in the morning. It's like, so this is, I can see why he doesn't want to go. But Jackson, you know, he is going into grade one and he's so excited. He's like beyond thrilled. He has no idea what it means. Like we're so excited to go. So it'll be good. It'll be good. And our daughter's going to grade three. But it's something new to navigate again. And, you know, it always sometimes puts me in a hard spot. That's the one thing about what I do is having to separate from being an advocate for other people and then like being the parent. And like being the parent in school meetings.
Right.
And then like turning around an hour later and being like, okay, everyone, now I'm here not as the parent. Here's another family. And I'm going to sit in on this, you know, this IEP meeting. So it's strange sometimes. But it's what I think it'll be what I'll be doing forever. I don't see it changing. Anytime soon, and which is great, but I definitely fell into it. There was no rhyme or reason for it, and it's kind of funny because my family is very old school.
Okay.
Like you go to university, you go to college, you all of the things you and here's the thing, every single thing in life they tell you that you're supposed to do, like you're supposed to get married first and then have kids, and like there's a rhyme and a reason to everything. I broke every single one of those rules. Like I never went to university. I never went to college. I had kids before I was married. Like, and so they just like sit back and they're just like, and you're doing what? Like you're talking in government and you're doing like, and it's just like, they think there should be rules for it. Hey, like there should be a rule book and like, you know, and how are you doing this? And I'm like, I don't know. Like
there's more than one way.
Yeah. Like, I don't know why they keep inviting me back. Like, and we like, honestly, we've made it a joke now, where we kind of joke about it because I'm fairly intense. And it's so funny because I was so shy and all the things not that long ago, but when I'm in legislation and even the meetings with any government officials, it's like this weird adrenaline rush and it's like a flip of a switch and I'm like all business. Like, what are the numbers? How many kids? Like, tell me all the things. And just and very intense. And someone we know is also in government, and she's like, you're like a different person in those meetings. she's like, you're like, you don't joke around or nothing, and like you're kind of vicious. And I'm just like, I know, like I don't even mean to be, but it's just like I know that it's possible to have, where we live specifically, to have families not struggling. I know that's possible. Like, I know that we can have families that are gaining support. I know that we can have, you know, shorter wait lists. I know all of those things are possible. It's just some people need to move their butts and, you know, get it done. And it just, it's like, if everyone sits around and does nothing, all of our kids get older. So the time, you know, something gets done or something gets put through or, you know, a waiting list shortens, you know, most of the time for a lot of our kiddos, regardless of where you live, they have aged out. they've aged out of that program or that system, or you've moved or whatever the circumstances is. So our family knows that firsthand. We have a provincial funding program that we started here. And I helped with some other moms get launched, and it's the highest funding program in our province. And really, really great. But we started it when Avery was really little, when he like pretty much first got diagnosed. And it's taken us till last year to finally get it fully approved for kids up to the age of 12 years old. Oh, wow. All of those things take time.
Yeah.
They take time. They take money. They take a lot of energy. So it's never overnight. So that's something I always think of, like every time I advocate for something or, you know, talk about something, be it public speaking or just in legislation, in a meeting, whatever it may be, that whatever we're talking about, that's going to help and benefit those that are the most vulnerable, you know, it's never going to be overnight. And so, you know, since it's never going to be right overnight, like a program started or something launched, we have to do it as fast as possible because these kids are going to become teens, which will become adults, and they need our help. It's not their fault that, you know, the system is a little bit broken. It is. And it's not their fault that, you know, they need extra. You know, it's up to us to fix it and to make it the very best it can be. So I've worked really, really hard to get things to change, but they definitely are not perfect here. They aren't perfect. There's so much work still to be done in various ways, in early intervention to placement for teens that are a little bit older and adults, for group homes and everything else. And I have just been lucky enough to be able to be invited and to sit down in some of those meetings and conversations on how things can get improved. And, you know, it's been nice to be able to talk to other families actually that don't even live here. And they give some amazing suggestions of how, you know, things could be better for everyone. And that's what we want at the end of the day. I've always said that I wanted someone to care as much as I care.
Right.
Because I think that if everyone cared a little bit more, you know, things would be better for, absolutely, you know. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, listen, thank you so much for coming on here tonight. I really appreciate it. Where can people connect with you if they have any questions or just want somebody to talk to?
Absolutely. So we are on Facebook.
Okay.
At A Journey for Avery. And we are on Instagram at KatieMD. And we are on YouTube, which is also A Journey for Avery. And those are our main places. Places that we socialize on. Yeah. But we have an amazing monthly newsletter that goes out where you actually learn a lot more about us than what we share in the internet, if this is surprising. A lot more personal things and just our day-to-day, especially with our boys. And a lot of charts we share and free downloads and some really, really good resources. You do not have to be from Saskatchewan to use them. A lot of them are for anywhere. So, yeah, that's where we're all at.
That's amazing. You're incredible. And thank you so much for coming on today. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me. This was wonderful.
Thank you guys so much for tuning in another week. I will still be on Instagram. I'll be active on there. If you guys want to hit me up at the Spectrum Dad Pod, and I'm sure I'll be back with another round of interviews sometime in the future. So thank you for tuning in. And here we go with the dad joke of the week. What did the buffalo say when his son went to college? Bye, son. I'll talk to you guys later. See ya.